Poems Every Child Should Know, edited by Mary E. Burt. Section 51, read for LibriVox.org by Kara Schallenberg. This section contains just one poem, really half of a poem. It is part two of Horatius at the Bridge. Part four continued. The three stood calm and silent, and looked upon the foes, and a great shout of laughter from all the vanguard rose, and forth three chiefs came spurring before that deep array. To earth they sprang, their swords they drew, and lifted high their shields, and flew to win the narrow way. Aunus from green Tifernum, lord of the hill of vines, and Seius, whose 800 slaves sicken in Ilva's mines, and Picus, long to Clusium, vassal in peace and war, who led to fight his Umbrian powers from that grey crag where, girt with towers, the fortress of Nequinium lowers o'er the pale waves of Nar. Stout Lartius hurled down Aunus into the stream beneath. Herminius struck at Seius and clove him to the teeth. At Picus brave Horatius darted one fiery thrust, and the proud Umbrian's gilded arms clashed in the bloody dust. Then Ocnus of Falerii rushed on the Roman three, and Lausulus of Ergo, the rover of the sea, and Aruns of Volsinium, who slew the great wild boar that had his den amid the reeds of Cosa's fen, and wasted fields and slaughtered men along Albinia's shore. Herminius smote down Aruns, Lartius laid Ocnus low, right to the heart of Lausulus Horatius sent a blow. "Lie there," he cried, "fell pirate! No more aghast and pale, from Ostia's walls the crowd shall mark the tracks of thy destroying bark. No more Campania's hinds shall fly to woods and caverns when they spy thy thrice-accursed sail." But now no sound of laughter was heard among the foes. A wild and wrathful clamour from all the vanguard rose. Six spears' length from the entrance halted that deep array, and for a space no man came forth to win the narrow way. But hark! The cry is Astur, and lo, the ranks divide, and the great lord of Luna comes with his stately stride. Upon his ample shoulders clangs loud the fourfold shield, and in his hand he shakes the brand which none but he can wield. He smiled on those bold Romans, a smile serene and high. He eyed the flinching Tuscans, and scorn was in his eye. Quoth he, "The she-wolf's litter stand savagely at bay, but will ye dare to follow if Astur clears the way?" Then whirling up his broadsword with both hands to the height, he rushed against Horatius and smote with all his might. With shield and blade Horatius right deftly turned the blow. The blow, though turned, came yet too nigh. It missed his helm, but gashed his thigh. The Tuscans raised a joyful cry to see the red blood flow. He reeled, and on Herminius he leaned one breathing space, then, like a wild cat mad with wounds, sprang right at Astur's face. Through teeth and skull and helmet so fierce a thrust he sped, the good sword stood a handbreadth out behind the Tuscan's head. And the great lord of Luna fell at the deadly stroke, as falls on Mount Alvernus a thunder-smitten oak. Far o'er the crashing forest the giant arms lie spread, and the pale augurs, muttering low, gaze on the blasted head. On Astur's throat Horatius right firmly pressed his heel, and thrice and four times tugged amain ere he wrenched out the steel. "And see," he cried, "the welcome, fair guests, that waits you here! What noble Lucumo comes next to taste our Roman cheer?" But at his haughty challenge a sullen murmur ran, mingled of wrath and shame and dread, along that glittering van. There lacked not men of prowess, nor men of lordly race, for all Etruria's noblest were round the fatal place. But all Etruria's noblest felt their heart sink to see on the earth the bloody corpses in the path the dauntless three, and from the ghastly entrance where those bold Romans stood, all shrank like boys who, unaware, ranging the woods to start a hare, come to the mouth of the dark lair, where, growling low, a fierce old bear lies amid bones and blood. Was none who would be foremost to lead such dire attack? But those behind cried forward, and those before cried back. And backward now and forward wavers the deep array, and on the tossing sea of steel to and fro the standards reel, and the victorious trumpet peal dies fitfully away. Yet one man for one moment strode out before the crowd. Well known was he to all the three, and they gave him greeting loud. "Now welcome, welcome, Sextus, now welcome to thy home. Why dost thou stay and turn away? Here lies the road to Rome." Thrice looked he at the city, thrice looked he at the dead, and thrice came on in fury, and thrice turned back in dread. And, white with fear and hatred, scowled at the narrow way, where, wallowing in a pool of blood, the bravest Tuscans lay. But meanwhile axe and lever have manfully been plied, and now the bridge hangs tottering above the boiling tide. Come back, Horatius!" loud cried the fathers all. "Back, Lartius, back, Herminius, back, ere the ruin fall!" Back darted Spurius Lartius, Herminius darted back, and as they passed beneath their feet they felt the timbers crack. But when they turned their faces, and on the farther shore saw brave Horatius stand alone, they would have crossed once more. But with a crash like thunder fell every loosened beam, and, like a dam, the mighty wreck lay right athwart the stream. And a long shout of triumph rose from the walls of Rome, as to the highest turret tops was splashed the yellow foam. And like a horse unbroken, when first he feels the rein, the furious river struggled hard and tossed his tawny mane, and burst the curb and bounded, rejoicing to be free, and whirling down in fierce career, battlement and plank and pier, rushed headlong to the sea. Alone stood brave Horatius, but constant still in mind, thrice 30,000 foes before, and the broad flood behind. "Down with him!" cried false Sextus, with a smile on his pale face. "Now yield thee!" cried Lars Porsena, "now yield thee to our grace!" Round turned he, as not deigning those craven ranks to see. Naught spake he to Lars Porsena, to Sextus naught spake he. But he saw on Palatinus the white porch of his home, and he spake to the noble river that rolls by the towers of Rome. "O Tiber, Father Tiber, to whom the Romans pray, a Roman's life, a Roman's arms, take thou in charge this day." So he spake, and speaking, sheathed the good sword by his side, and with his harness on his back, plunged headlong in the tide. No sound of joy or sorrow was heard from either bank, but friends and foes, in dumb surprise, with parted lips and straining eyes, stood gazing where he sank. And when above the surges they saw his crest appear, all Rome sent forth a rapturous cry, and even the ranks of Tuscany could scarce forbear to cheer. And fiercely ran the current, swollen high by months of rain, and fast his blood was flowing, and he was sore in pain, and heavy with his armor, and spent with changing blows, and oft they thought him sinking, but still again he rose. Never, I ween, did swimmer in such an evil case struggle through such a raging flood safe to the landing-place. But his limbs were borne up bravely by the brave heart within, and our good father Tiber bore bravely up his chin. "Curse on him," quoth false Sextus, "we'll not the villain drown. But for this stay, ere close of day, we should have sacked the town." "Heaven help him," quoth Lars Porsena, "and bring him safe to shore, for such a gallant feat of arms was never seen before." And now he feels the bottom, now on dry earth he stands, now round him throng the fathers to press his gory hands, and now with shouts and clapping and noise of weeping loud, he enters through the river-gate, borne by the joyous crowd. They gave him of the corn land that was of public right, as much as two strong oxen could plough from morn till night. And they made a molten image, and set it up on high, and there it stands unto this day, to witness if I lie. It stands in the Comitium, plain for all folk to see, Horatius in his harness, halting upon one knee. And underneath is written, in letters all of gold, how valiantly he kept the bridge in the brave days of old. And still his name sounds stirring unto the men of Rome, as the trumpet blast that cries to them to charge the Volscian home. And wives still pray to Juno for boys with hearts as bold as he who kept the bridge so well in the brave days of old. And in the nights of winter, when the cold north winds blow, and the long howling of the wolves is heard amid the snow, when round the lonely cottage roars loud the tempest's din, and the good logs of Algidus roar louder yet within. When the oldest cask is opened, and the largest lamp is lit, when the chestnuts glow in the embers, and the kid turns on the spit, when young and old in circle around the firebrands close, when the girls are weaving baskets, and the lads are shaping bows, when the good man mends his armor and trims his helmet's plume, when the good wife's shuttle merrily goes flashing through the loom, with weeping and with laughter still is the story told, how well Horatius kept the bridge in the brave days of old. Thomas B. Macaulay. End of section 51. Read by Kara Schallenberg on November 10th, 2006, in Oceanside, California.